Some of you, during the season of Advent, in some of our small groups and Sunday school classes, some of you are reading through material called The Advent Conspiracy. I know that some of you have maybe done that program or thought about those concepts before. Are you familiar with Advent Conspiracy? Well, we need a little instruction then. Let me tell you just a quick story. Every year in January, I lead a group of students to Houston, and we do a church immersion, and we experience lots and lots of different types of congregations, from very, very large congregations to house churches to church that happens on the street in the middle of the night to all kinds of different ministries. And one of those ministries we visit is a church called Ecclesia. And Ecclesia is led by a fellow named Chris C. Chris has been the pastor there. He's the founding pastor. And Ecclesia is unique because if you were 30 years old, you'd be an old person at Ecclesia, because the entire congregation is made up of folks who are in their late teens and 20s. So when we go to visit there, I'm always the oldest guy in the room, no question. One January we were there, and we had been working with them on the Advent Conspiracy. The Advent Conspiracy actually grew out of that congregation. And the Advent Conspiracy is to say, let's work underground, kind of that conspiracy theme, to think about the way that we give gifts. And rather than just giving those gifts where we feel like we're obligated to give a gift and spend some money and do that, what if we don't do that anymore? What if we consolidate those funds and we do something really remarkable? So the church Ecclesia, this group of young people, 20s and such, they came together during the Advent season and they did exactly that. So they didn't give those just auxiliary gifts. They rather brought their funds together and they brought them to the church to be able to make something remarkable happen. And what they decided to do is they decided to drill some wells in Haiti. So they were going to drill water wells in Haiti. So we happened to be there in January. And at the close of the service, Chris finished the sermon and he simply stepped up and he said, oh, by the way, I need to remind you that 3 weeks from now, there won't be any worship services. We won't be here because we're going to be in Haiti investing the money that we gathered during Advent to be able to drill those wells. And oh, by the way, if any of you would like to join us after the service, I'll give you details about how you could come and join us. Guess what happened? Hundreds of those young people showed up in Haiti to be a part of drilling those wells. The Advent Conspiracy, if you think about it, can make a difference in your life. I want to share with you this morning from the book of Galatians. And I'm going to read to you this morning from the King James Version. I don't really recall the last time I read on Sunday morning from King James, but I know some of you are probably very familiar with King James language, but it has that kind of unique language to it. It was written in 1611, so, you know, it's just a little bit before Shakespeare died, so it has kind of that Shakespearean sort of feel to it. And most of the time, today, we transition into other translations of the scripture to be able to bring it into a more common language. But I think you'll get the flow from Galatians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul writes and says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, than an heir of God through Christ. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, we pray that you would help us to understand what it means to be an heir to the gift of Christ, And so we ask, God, that you would draw us together and you would focus these few moments together as we might be able to think about the inheritance that you have in store for us. Grant us grace, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder how many of you, this is kind of a personal question, how many of you have a will? Do you have a will? Have you done that? So some people take that very, very seriously, and others are a little more relaxed about that whole process of being able to definitively outline what your estate might look like. And for some of you, the word, if you're like me, the word estate is a pretty big word, you know. Not estate really doesn't apply to the inheritance that I'm going to leave for my children. It would be something much smaller than estate, you know. But in the process, you know, there are ways for us to be able to identify what would be our inheritance that we would share with the next generation. And so I read it to you this morning from the King James Version, not just any King James Version, but one that's very special to me, because this is a part of my inheritance. So my father died in 1977 and left behind resources that took care of my mother and continued to do that. And then identified some pieces that would go to his three sons, and I was fortunate enough to inherit his Bible. So this is the Bible that my father carried when he was growing up in the German Lutheran tradition as a young man. And the pages right in the center between the New Testament and the Old Testament, it won't surprise you, but a little family heritage that is described here. My father's very distinguishable script written here, where he has one page that identifies my grandparents, Arthur W. Jessen, Golda Howe Jessen, and their parents, my great-grandparents, are identified here. And then on the other page, there's a recording of the births of my uncles and some marriages that are identified. So it becomes kind of a family history, and I'm very grateful for the family history. And so when we think about heritage, when we think about inheritance, we think about being heirs, we know that there are different ways that we become heirs and different experiences that we have a chance to be able to share. So this is part of my inheritance. Now, you might have a will that's written out in very legal language and that sort of thing. My grandmother, Golda Howe, she was quite a woman. One time when I was about 4 years old, watched my grandmother shoot a chicken from her seating position in the kitchen, right through the screen door, with a .32 pistol. She was quite a woman. But she, when she knew that she was getting ready to die, she didn't write down all of the details about her last will and testament. And rather than, she wrote her last will and testament on little scraps of paper. And those little scraps of paper had the names of all of her children and grandchildren. And because she was anticipating her death, she began to produce things. She began to make things for her children and grandchildren. And so she made dish towels and quilt tops and things of that sort. And she bundled them all up in little packages, tied them with string. And then with a straight pin, she stuck the name onto the package. And then she stacked them very orderly, very neatly, and very secretly in the closet. And after her death, we discovered the last will and testament. I received a little bundle, quite a little bundle. It had seven embroidered dish towels identified with the various days of the week, Monday through all the way through Sunday. I got some little tatted doilies that were really very, very beautiful, and a quilt top. Now, today, I think they're really a remarkable inheritance, but at the time, as a nine-year-old dealing with my first experience with death, I was wondering, what in the world am I going to do with Monday through Friday dish towels, you know? It really didn't make much sense, but inheritance is important to us because inheritance connects us one generation to the next. Inheritance gives us identity. And the Apostle Paul talks about our identity as those who are in alignment to receive a great inheritance. And that great inheritance, you know, is the perfect gift of Jesus Christ. And so that gift that we are to receive is a great blessing to us. It's the gift that literally does connect one generation of faith to the next generation from the beginning of time on to the end. Every generation past, present, and future, connected by the same gift. The Apostle Paul talks about it as a gift that really we can receive. And it's a gift that comes at a very special time. He says it comes in the fullness of time. At the perfect moment, at the fullness of time, and exactly the right moment, at the divine moment, God provided this gracious gift unto us. And so in the New Testament days, everyone knew who was going to receive the inheritance. Even before the children were born, everyone already knew that the firstborn son was going to receive the inheritance. In fact, as soon as the firstborn son took the first breath, everything belonged to that young man, even though they weren't old enough to really receive that. And so it was held in trust for them by stewards and guardians and trustees until the time was right when the father would identify what was the age when the son could receive the inheritance. And when that age was received, then they would receive that entire blessing. And it was a gracious gift. And everybody knew it. Everybody understood. There was no secret about it. In the process, there is no secret at all about this great inheritance that we all have available to us. The inheritance of the perfect gift, the perfect gift of Jesus Christ that comes to us once again in this season of Christmas. So we talked about the gift of Christ often, but now we can focus on it in a unique way because we're going to think about what it means to be people who arrive at Bethlehem, who come to the manger and experience the Christ child fresh, not just as a repeat because we've done it last year and the year before and the year before that, but we do it fresh. We do it new. We do it with eyes that are open in a unique way because we are receiving this inheritance that is ours that came in the fullness of time at exactly the perfect moment. So when we think about that perfect moment for us, there's so many things that connect us. As we think about this second Sunday of Advent, there are lots of different dynamics to the nature of receiving and experiencing and understanding what it means to be people who will call ourselves Christians and who arrive at the manger. So today we want to just think about a few of those elements, a few of those dynamics that will help us understand who we are. One of the dynamics, if we thought about it like it was a beautiful package, it would be like the colorful ribbon that goes around the outside and just holds it together. It's right on the surface, and it has to do with a spiritual trust fund. So you might have been in the position where you could establish a trust fund for your children. Maybe you're a recipient of a trust fund or something like that. But in the process, here we have a spiritual trust fund that comes to us in Jesus. It's a gift that continues to unfold, and we don't even have to wait until we become mature. What does that mean to become mature anyway? You know? What does that really mean? You know? There's no marking spot that says at this age, like the oldest son who is going to inherit all the property, it's not like at this age you get to cash in your trust fund, because this trust fund has a different kind of term. And the moment is now. And your name is on it. And it's a gift to you. It's a gift to every one of us. It's a gift of grace. And so it's not wrapped up and hidden away. It actually is something that continues to kind of flow. You can't hide it behind fancy ribbons and things, because grace cannot be held or contained. It cannot be limited or restrained. It's a gift that just flows to you. And so this trust fund, this spiritual trust fund that we receive, is a gracious gift that we open our hearts in, and we receive it by a gift of grace. There's a second element that has to do with the nature of family. So we think about Christmas is a family time for sure. But we think about this spiritual family that we claim as our own. The Bible says to those who became believers, he gave them the right to become children of God, to become adopted into the family. And so we have a family. You know, sometimes at Christmas time, people are isolated and left out and alone. But we have a family. We call it the church. And we bind ourselves together in the body of Christ to say we are not isolated, we are not alone, we in fact have a family, but not everyone has that. You know, just a few days ago, December 1st, was World AIDS Day. So for many, it might have gone by without notice or any indication. But you know that today, around the world, there are places where the AIDS epidemic is devastating entire adult populations. And so you could go into particular areas and you could find this incredibly painful kind of experience where the entire adult population has died. And homes and entire villages are being led by children because the children are the only ones left. There's so many orphaned children that they're actually responsible not only for themselves, but for caring for their siblings as well in that process. And the family connection has been broken and has been violated, and there's been this incredible violence that's happened in their lives. Thanks be to God that we have a family. Thanks be to God that we can share the gospel of Christ with all those children, with all the places around the world, and we can adopt them into the family of Christ as well. We have a family. We're not isolated from one another, and family becomes critical for us. It's a part of the gift. If it were that box, it would be the brightly colored wrapping paper that surrounds it. It's tucked in and neatly folded at the corners, you know, but it's there to make sure that we are in place and that all is well. Family, it's an important part of the inheritance. Another important part of the inheritance is a gift of intimacy, an intimacy that invites us to come to Bethlehem, to experience the manger, and to do that in a remarkable way, to open our hearts so that we can really actually experience not only what's going to be meaningful for us, but how we're going to be able to share our lives with others. And so we open our lives to be able to share with all of the people around us in the incredible kind of needs that are out there and available to us. Intimacy. You know, we've been together for just a short time. This is the start of month 6. There are lots of things I want to tell you, lots of things I want to say, and a lot of things that you heard before. And I can't say them all at one time. Aren't you glad? But I do want to say this. I know that for many in our congregation, Christmas is a time of hurt and pain and difficulty. Some because they're isolated and alone, separated from loved ones or family. Sometimes that separation comes on an emotional level. Sometimes it comes on a geographical level. Sometimes the pain is because of broken relationships and emptiness. Sometimes it's because of loss. Lots of reasons. But we come together as a family to intimately open our eyes to new possibilities. And one of the incredible possibilities that we have is arriving at the manger scene and not experiencing a brightly wrapped package or a beautiful bow, but just the simple swaddling cloth of a child born to common parents. And when we look inside of that manger and we pull back the layers of cloth, and if you're willing to look into the eyes of Jesus, you'll look deep into his soul and you'll see the power of his love. And that love is a transforming gift. And so the invitation at Christmas, the invitation of inheritance, is an invitation of intimacy, to open our lives to the intimate possibilities of what God has in store for us. And even though our journey of faith and all the experiences of life lived together have been going on for some time, what if we started fresh? What if we started fresh as though this was a new journey? Oh, it's a continuation of an old journey for sure, but there's newness on the horizon because Jesus has come in the fullness of time at just the right time, at the perfect moment. And I don't think there's any more perfect moment than right now. So of all the things I'd love to be able to say, I want to say this, and I hope you hear this. You've heard it before. God loves you. Wants the very best for you. Has a gift of grace with your name on it. Grace that has been received in the past, but grace that is renewed today. And so of all the things I'd like to inquire about, I just want to ask, have you known and received the power of that grace, that comes through the child, Jesus. Have you known that in your life? And if you've known it in your life in the past, would you be willing, would you be ready to say yes and to join me in a new journey? I'm not going to ask you to show up in Haiti, but I will ask you to join in a journey of family and hope, a journey that is demonstrated best by the Lord Jesus Christ himself coming in the fullness of time to be the most perfect gift we could ever receive. Have you known the power of that perfect gift? Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, together on this day, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ as we gather here. And we give you thanks that you have come as Emmanuel, God who is with us. And we thank you for the faithfulness of your journey in our lives. And we ask God this day that you would draw very, very close to us as we seek to draw close to you, as we come to the manger, as we see the Christ child, as we fold back the cloths, as we look into the eyes. Help us, Lord, to see the power of your love, and not just to see it, but to receive it and to be blessed by it. We ask God that graceful blessing in the fullness of time, in this moment, through Christ our Lord. Amen and amen.